Now, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, I'm still working on putting some information together for a new series. So I just want to visit this here tonight. I want to share with something that God has been working in my heart. And in relation to prayer, notice it says here, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. Notice that word there. We'll talk about that in a moment. We have the petitions that we desired of him. Let me ask you a question. Why do people often struggle with prayer? Maybe we have some people here in our church that struggle with prayer. I don't know. But I want you to consider here, let me just mention a few reasons, and then I want to mention some things here that the Lord's been working in my heart for the last few months here now in particular. First of all, we do not know what to pray for. Notice with me, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray for, and you know, we pray for 5 minutes and we run out of things to say. Well, let me just say this. If you pray like I'm introducing here tonight, you won't ever run out of anything to say. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Notice here, and in particular, I want you to notice the emphasis of the Holy Spirit here. And I will mention this here in a moment, another point here. But it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Notice that statement. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. In fact, many times, the things we pray for are the things that aren't necessarily in God's will or whatever, but says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For example, as I just mentioned, sometimes we pray for things that are not according to God's will. All right, so if somebody's living away from God, living in rebellion against God, I'm sorry, we cannot ask for God to bless their lives. So sometimes, you know, Lord bless them. It's like, in fact, there's a time when the prophets of Israel were told not to pray for the nation of Israel, or Judah in particular. Why? Because God had said, I'm done with them. So again, we need to pray according to God's will. But it says we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Notice then also, another reason, we often become bored with our time with God. What? Christians get bored spending time with God? Yeah, in reality, that's a lot of reasons why people don't spend much time with God. In fact, if it was exciting, don't you think we'd be spending more time doing it? I want you to consider here, we get bored praying through the same list of things day after day after day. That's reality. We go through and pray for the same things every day. I want you to consider, sometimes we get to the point where we just vainly repeat those things. Notice me, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. That's what Jesus says here as far as prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Again, that's motivation there. But it says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, so here's the Lord's instructions as to how we should pray. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, by the way, this is not saying that, men, you shouldn't volunteer to pray later, right? I just want to make sure you know that. We're talking about motives here. I'm supposed to pray privately, there's also teaching as far as how we should pray publicly. But it says, when ye pray, use not, notice this, vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Here's one of the vain repetitions I often hear. God bless the missionaries. How do you know if he's blessing the missionaries or not? That's vain repetition where you just kind of throw something out. That's a vain, repetitious list, prayer list. I want you to consider often when we pray, our mind begins to wander and we're easily distracted when we're just kind of going through the motions of praying through a list. By the way, I'll come back to that in a moment here. But often related to that, we read through a passage of the Bible as an assignment. How many of you enjoyed in school, you enjoyed a reading assignment that your teacher would give you? I think God is above that. So many times we you know, and there's sometimes favorite subjects that you would have or whatever, but God does not give us reading assignments. He's given his message of love to us. So why do we treat it like a reading assignment? As I was doing some reading of this here, I came across a story of a little girl. She was given this one of those memorized, you know, prayers, you know, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. Well, you know, what is the one prayer that they would say at bedtime, you know, now I lay me down to sleep or whatever, okay? So she's thinking, why do I have to repeat this same prayer every night? So she decided, you know, I'm going to record it, and I'm just going to play the recording back every night. Why should I pray the same words over and over when I can push a button and let the recording pray it for me? But then a humorous story, I read of a pastor was listening to this usher pray. And as he was praying, he was called on to pray for the offering. And all of a sudden, he heard somebody else talking while he's praying. And he's thinking, how rude. So he's trying to figure out who's talking while somebody is praying. Come to find out, it's his five-year-old son. The usher's five-year-old son is praying with his father as he's praying for the offering. He had it so memorized, he could repeat the prayer as the father is praying these things. I think that's vain repetition. And again, the Lord warns us to not fall into this vain repetition. Something else, we do not sense the Spirit's presence as we pray. Notice Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to consider that God the Holy Spirit, as we've already seen in Romans chapter 8, God the Holy Spirit wants to pray through us. And I want you to consider that if we look at prayer life, our prayer life that way, that will just explode our understanding of prayer. It says, you know, notice here, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, of course, right at the end of the teaching on the armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice this phrase, in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, let me just say this. I'm not saying that when you go through a prayer list that you cannot be praying in the Spirit. I'm not saying that at all. But when it simply becomes repetitious, we often just pray down through a list and we're not actually praying what the Holy Spirit may want us to pray in particular situations or whatever. Jude verse 20 talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. It's also very interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 talks about the Holy Spirit living within us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? In fact, it's very interesting. Revelation chapter 1, this is one thing I pray on the Lord's Day, that we would be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day as John was on the Isle of Patmos. I'm not saying you do that so we can receive these revelations from God. But John was in the Spirit before he received those things. I really believe that's something we can also experience. We're not talking about speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff. There's no indication that John did that on the Isle of Patmos. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says this. There's three things that are mentioned as far as the Trinity. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. And listen to this statement. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Romans 8:15 talks about the fact that we have received the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit of adoption enables us to be able to have a fatherly relationship with our Heavenly Father. In fact, that's the same title that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's very interesting. We can pray to our Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6 has a similar statement. God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, here's the problem, I believe, in many cases. This is one of the things that the Lord has impressed on my heart over the last several months in my own life. The problem is our method for praying. Our method for praying. And as I was doing some reading, I came across the account of revivalist George Whitefield. How many recognize that name? All right, of course, from colonial America days, before the Declaration of Independence and all those things. And his I don't remember if his autobiography or biographer said that he would read his Bible on his knees. Now, I'm not saying that we have to read the Bible that way. But here's the point. As he was reading the Bible, he was praying God's words. Ephesians 3:18. How many times have we read that verse and we do not act on it? I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I was reading on our vacation, there was this valley that went down to the river where we were staying, a place where we rented for vacation. And the grandkids were still sleeping, and so I had some quiet time, and I was sitting there. And I was enjoying my reading, praying through Ephesians, if I remember, 3 and 4 that day. And all of a sudden, I came to Ephesians 3:18. I was very comfortable in my chair as I was praying through Ephesians chapter 3. And so I come to Ephesians 3:18, where Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I literally sat there. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit seemed to be saying to me, so are you going to practice that verse? You're praying through Ephesians 3, so are you going to practice that verse? Lord, I'm comfortable in this chair. I'm enjoying this view here. I literally sat there for 2 or 3 minutes debating whether or not I was going to do what that verse said. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit emphasized to me, are you going to do what the Bible says? Like I say, I came to this verse. Am I willing to practice what the Bible says? Or 3:14, I should say. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it says in Psalm 95, verse 6, I think it is, that we kneel before the Lord our Maker. How many times do we just read words and we never do anything about it? Again, we're talking about praying. In fact, George Mueller, who provided for thousands of orphans through prayer alone, no fundraisers, no fundraising letters, no campaigns, whatever. He was reading the biography of George Whitefield, and he was inspired by him to change his prayer life. And literally, according to records, he prayed through the Bible as many as 200 times. Literally, just praying through the Bible. That's how he prayed. As far as my personal testimony is what the Lord's been doing in my life, my prayer life has been changing over the last few months. I've told you before that I've struggled with wanting to organize my prayer life, my prayer list, so many times. I actually have changed my prayer list. This is my prayer list right here. This has a list of different things that I've tried to focus on as I'm praying. I'll explain that here in a moment. I no longer emphasize a list mentality. It actually has been liberating to me. On a normal morning, here's what I'm currently doing. I'll pray through 2 or 3 psalms just for adoration, praise of God. Then I'll read through 2 to 3 chapters of the New Testament epistles. That takes me through the New Testament epistles every 2 months. And then as I have time, I read other New Testament passages, other Old Testament passages, literally praying through these passages. And here's what I want to emphasize. As I was meditating on this thought, all of a sudden I was curious because as I'm praying through the New Testament epistles, I noticed time and time and time again, they all end with amen. Well, that sounds like a prayer, doesn't it? And so I just out of curiosity, I decided to look that up. So I went through all the New Testament books. There's only 3 books in the New Testament that do not end with the word amen. Very easy to turn the books of the New Testament into prayer, is what I'm emphasizing here tonight. Praying through the Bible. Praying through God's words. Literally, I'm going to emphasize this. Literally, what happens is it enlivens and expands your prayer life. I am not saying you should read that much. I'm not saying that at all. I obviously have a little more time to do that now that I'm working FedEx and so on. I'm not focusing tonight on how much scripture. What I'm focusing on is the method of praying. As you read through scripture, here's what I have written on this card. These are just reminders while I'm working on this. First of all, praise and worship. As you read through a passage, look for things that you can praise and worship God for. His names, his attributes, and so on. But then obviously, repentance and confession of sin. As we read through Scripture, the Holy Spirit will say, you're not living up to that, are you? Or it'll talk about specific sins. So repentance and confession of sin. Then petitions and requests. There are certain things that the Bible emphasizes and presents that are things that we can take to God as a request. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Then thanksgiving for blessings. There's things that as we read, as we're going through Scripture, we can, oh yeah, there's something I'd be thankful for. But then also intercession for others. That's what we're emphasizing on Wednesday nights with these intercessory prayer lists. But again, using Scripture to formulate these things. Now, as far as intercession for others, our marriage. As I come through something as I'm praying through the New Testament or whatever, that's something. These are things I can pray for our marriage, for our family, for our sons and their families, for our grandchildren, for our parents, for our extended family. In fact, as an example in Romans, I think it's chapter 9, where it talks about Paul praying for his kinsmen according to the flesh that they might be saved. I have that written down at that point for my extended family. We have extended family that's not saved. I want to be reminded, at least at that point, to pray for our extended family that they might be saved. Again, using Scripture to pray it back to God. But again, as far as our church family then. In particular, what I do is I use the New Testament epistles to pray for you. So you want to know what your pastor is praying for you? Read through the New Testament epistles and you know what I'm taking back to you in prayer. In fact, tonight I put something on your prayer list, if you have one. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. These are actual statements that Paul is praying for the Colossae church. Pray that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. That we would be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father for making us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Those are actual prayer requests that the Apostle Paul prayed. Those are some things as an example that I pray for our church family. For the unsaved. Remember we saw here recently 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 3 and 4. Those that are lost, the god of this world have blinded their minds. So I pray that the lost that live around here and various ones that I know are unsaved, I pray that their mind will be opened to understand and see the gospel. There's some that I've had contact with here in recent months, in particular that I'm praying in relation to that, to be able to see the remove the blinders of religion or whatever the case may be. Our missionaries, Romans 15, Paul gives some prayer requests for the church at Rome, some things that he wanted them to pray for. For our nation, Proverbs 14:34 is an example. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I use that as a prayer reminder for our nation. Again, all these examples and persecuted believers and so on, the different things we put on this list. Promises to claim. Jacob in Genesis 32 prays God's promises back to him. God, you said, Lord, you said that I was supposed to, you know, go back home, what, you know, the exact wording, but he said, you said it to me. I want you to consider that he's praying God's promises back to him. Notice with me Psalm 19. Something else as you read through Scripture. Look for warnings from God. Psalm 19. So obviously you're not going to speed read through your reading assignment every day and not really get anything out of it if you're doing it this, because you're going to go phrase by phrase, verse by verse, looking for things that you can pray to God about. Psalm 19, verse 11. Moreover, by them, talking about God's word, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Obviously, you're turning this over to a confession of sin and all that, secret faults. But then he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous, willful sins. This is a prayer request. In fact, the Psalms are filled with prayer requests. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, again, continued prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, notice this, praying, just using these verses to pray. Now, here's some reasons to pray Scripture. First of all, because of Bible examples. In Daniel 9, remember, we'll see this here in detail in a moment, or in a few weeks, I should say. But remember in Daniel 9, I think it's verse 1 or 2, it says that Daniel understood by the books about the 70 years as far as Judas' captivity. And it was because of that that he began praying and pleading with God and calling on God to forgive them and so on. But Daniel turns God's words into prayer before God. Also, Acts chapter 4, the disciples in the church at Jerusalem prayed from Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Jesus on the cross. Now, obviously, there's certain things that we would not be able to pray like Jesus. But he prayed scripture. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But Jesus prayed scripture. He prayed things back to his heavenly Father. Bible examples very clearly tell us that they prayed scripture. Also, to receive answers according to the will of God. Remember, this is the confidence we saw in 1 John 5:14. That if we pray anything according to God's will, he hears us. How do we know if we're praying according to his will? Well, if God said it in his word, it's his will. So again, we understand that. But John 15:7, Jesus makes this interesting statement. If ye abide in me, stay close in this relationship with him. And notice this statement. And my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah, I can pray for that sports car now. No, because you can't find sports cars in the Bible. In fact, we have missionaries who have been on the field for years, and they finally have their first vehicle. They've been taking public transportation, whatever. I want you to consider that that's not how we pray. We pray when God says it in his word, taking his word back to God. Then we know that it shall be done for us because we're asking according to what God said in his word. A third reason to pray scripture, it helps to keep our flesh and mind focused on prayer. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, watch and pray. This is when the disciples were falling asleep while Jesus was praying the most intense prayer of his entire life. In fact, it says that he was only a stone's throw away, but Hebrews says that he had loud crying and tears to the one who was able to deliver him. They fell asleep so soundly that a stone's throw away, they did not hear him crying out to his heavenly Father. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Here's the statement I want you to catch here. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let's apply that to our prayer life here tonight. How many times, especially if you work extra hours or whatever, you're tired, whatever the case may be, how many times you have trouble focusing on your prayer time? Your mind starts wandering and so on. I want you to consider the spirit indeed is willing. Oh, I want to pray. But with our flesh and our minds, we struggle. The flesh is weak. Last of all, it keeps our prayers fresh and renewed. Praying for the same people with new requests. Do we have the same exact things all the time that we pray for certain people? You know, for your spouse, for your children, for your grandchildren, whatever. Do you have the same, you just have this short little list that you pray over and over and over and over and over and over again. And yet God may point out some things that, let's say for example, Genesis 24 gives us a clue to something that we should be praying for our children, for the young people of our church, whatever. I being in the way the Lord led me. It's the time when Abraham's looking for a wife for Isaac. I want you to consider, we should be praying now that God would prepare the one that they are to marry. Do we ever even think about that? Well, all of a sudden, you're out of here. Hope you find a wife. Hope you find a husband. Whatever. Why don't we pray that God will even now prepare the way for somebody, keeping them pure, whatever. I mean, all the different things we should be praying for. There's things that we should be praying for. It provides variety. Let me just say this. If it's taking you 2 months, whatever, to go through the New Testament epistles, that's going to be variety in your prayer life. You're not praying the same things every day for the same people. It gives variety. Obviously, we're going to avoid vain repetitions when we pray that way. I'm just sharing with you what the Lord has been doing in my heart as far as my time with God. I don't, like I said, I've been joking ever since we saw this in 2 Corinthians. I'm not lording it over your faith. I'm just throwing out there what God is doing in my life. Why don't you take that and see what God wants to do in your prayer life? Now, I understand there's times when I know some of our men traveling a lot or whatever. I mean, you listen to your time of Bible reading or whatever. Maybe pause it phrase by phrase and take those things. I don't know. I'm going to let you decide what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. But that's what the Lord has been impressing on my heart here in recent weeks, and I trust something helps in your prayer life. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to become people of prayer. Lord, I emphasize this from time to time. Lord, thank you for what you've been doing in my life personally. And Lord, I pray that some ideas I threw out here tonight, Lord, will be of help to give us a lively prayer life. To not just go through the routine and the motions of praying down through a list. And after a certain amount of time, it just becomes meaningless. Sometimes we're even distracted and have trouble focusing. And Lord, to slow down as we're reading through the Bible and taking what you have said to us, turn it back to you in prayer. So Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to evaluate our prayer life here tonight. See what we can strengthen. In Jesus' name, amen.